Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. What a blessing and joy it is to have you join us. If you'd like to join us in person, we worship at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. And if you can't join us in person, you can always join us live streaming. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream. You can chat, you can worship, you can grow in grace. Our prayer is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Well, welcome to this week's message. If you've been with us for a while, we've been doing some of the, well, we began the year with doing some of the big Bible stories of the Old Testament. I titled that series, God With Us. Today, we're looking at some of the difficult, overwhelming, depressing, and fearful, and sad and disappointing times that we are going through. And this past year, we've all struggled with a lot of things, whether it was COVID or health concerns or financial concerns, or wars and rumors of wars. I have a few questions to ask you today. Where do you find hope? Where do you find strength? Where do you find light in this dark world? Where do you find food for your soul? Where do you find faith? Those are some good questions. Where do you find hope? Where do you find strength? Where do you find light in this dark time? Where do you find food for your soul? And where do you find faith? It's my prayer is that as we walk to Jerusalem to experience the empty tomb, we will find faith along the way. The scriptures teach us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, as we're journeying together, we looked at those big stories, the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We found faith in the lion's den with Daniel. We found faith in the valley that was filled with giants like David, taking down David, that little shepherd boy, taking down the giant. Called Goliath. We found faith on the mountaintop with Elijah when fire came down from heaven. Well, if you were with us a few weeks ago, we looked at the paralytic who was lowered down through the roof by his friends. And well, last week we looked at blind Bartimaeus when he cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Today, it's my prayer that we'll find faith in the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. I've titled this message, Faith and a Feeding Frenzy. As I read the scripture, I encourage you once again to put yourself into the story. Are you one of Jesus' disciples that have been recently sent out to perform miracles? Are you in the crowd? Do you need healing? Are you in the crowd because you are simply curious? Are you in the crowd because you're hungry for wisdom? One quick note, this miracle is the only miracle that all four gospel writers record. Why? Why do all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell this story? John tells us that it was a little boy's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish that Philip is the one who was being tested. The other gospel writers tell us that it was the 12 who are the ones being tested. This is one of the last miracles recorded around Galilee before Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem and the cross. Why is this story in the Bible? Is it to show us to have faith in trying times? Is it to help us to trust Jesus more? Well, before we turn to God's living word, let us come to the throne of grace and seek God's face and grace. Let us pray. God of all glory and grace, we come to you today to be filled with your bread of life, both in word and deed, and in hearing your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you are the bread of life. Help us to hear your words of life today. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to trust you to provide and be sufficient. Help us to be satisfied with enough. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 10 through 17. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a man in our church who bought a case of the one-year Bibles, and he would love to give them out. If you would like one, you could email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible. Luke chapter 9, 10 through 17. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him. They withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "Well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there, but he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples, and he set them before them. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. We're told that the apostles returned. Where did they return from? If we would read the first 9 verses of chapter 9, Jesus had sent out the 12 to heal the sick, cast out demons, and preach the kingdom of God. I wonder how difficult these times were when people lived under the strong arm of the Roman Empire. I wonder if they were frustrated and frightened. I wonder if they were tired of the tumultuous and uncertain times. This could be our story for us today. I wonder if they were just overwhelmed. Listen closely. Why did Jesus previously send his disciples out without him? We are told in verse 6 of Luke 9 these words, "So that they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere." Luke 9, 6. As the 12 arrived back in Capernaum, home base of Jesus' ministry around Galilee, Jesus calls to them to follow him out to a solitary place around Bethsaida. Just a few side notes here. Bethsaida means in Hebrew, house of fish. And Bethsaida was the hometown of Peter and Andrew and Philip. Jesus did 7 miracles in this town. It was in Bethsaida where Jesus came along the Sea of Galilee and called Peter and Andrew and Philip to follow him. 3 years later, there were about 5,000 men plus women and children who are following Jesus now. I'm sure that the disciples were tired from their recent road trip, the ministry of preaching, casting out demons, and healing the sick. Well, it can be exhausting. I'm sure they were anxious to tell Jesus all about their miracles that they experienced. I'm sure they were looking for a little peace and quiet and not looking for a crowd of people. Yep, ministry can be like that. I love the ending of verse 11 when Jesus saw the crowd following him. Listen to what he says. He welcomed them. Luke 9:11. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. The Greek word for welcome is apodekomai, which means to receive, to willingly permit, to accept, and to gladly welcome. Friends, where are you in your walk with Jesus? From this story, we are learning that wherever we are, all we have to do is follow Jesus. Jesus will joyfully permit you to come to him. Jesus will accept you, receive you, gladly welcome you. It does not matter what you have done or how broken you are. Jesus' arms are open wide and will gladly welcome you. In Mark's account, we are told that Jesus had compassion on them. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus has compassion on us and wants to heal us. I find it interesting that so many people go to see a doctor and ask a doctor to heal them physically. The doctor recommends physical therapy. Some will go to the physical therapist and get their healing for their broken bones or body. Others will not go to the physical therapist, and they walk around the rest of their life with a physical limp or disability. The Greek word used for healing in this verse is therapia. Therapy. It's the same word we get the word therapy from. Jesus was doing some amazing therapy that day. Now think of this. Someone might ask you to go see a pastor or a spiritual director for some emotional, or spiritual healing. Yet you refuse. Being in ordained ministry for the past 25 years and in youth ministry for 18 years, I can tell you that people do not seek help right away. We go to VR when a bone is broken, yet when our hearts are broken, we hobble around thinking it will heal on its own. We are told that crowds came to Jesus to hear him and be healed by him. Hearing and healing. Let me say that again. Hearing and healing. Jesus gladly welcomed them and gladly welcomes us. Even if we are on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, we can still follow Jesus. Hearing and healing are ours still today. As we enter into this story, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God and healing the people. That's what we're told. It gets late in the afternoon. The sun's going to set. The disciples had not had their alone time with Jesus yet. We are told by our good friend Dr. Luke that they asked Jesus to tell the crowd to leave, go home, go to surrounding villages and get some food. You get the idea? Go away. We miss the emphasis of the verb, though. The verb, send them away, is it's an imperative verb, which means it's more of a command. Can you imagine going to Jesus and commanding him to do something? It was not given us it's not given as a suggestion, it's a command. Jesus, send them away so they can get food. The disciples are commanding Jesus to do something. What were those disciples thinking? They had just experienced 3 years of miracles, the deaf hearing, the dead walking, the lepers healed, the blind seeing, the miraculous catch of fish, storm stilled, and demons cast out. In fact, they had just spent time doing miracles themselves, healing and casting out demons while they were teaching about the kingdom of God. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about feeding and faith. Feeding and faith. Listen, if you would like some prayer, our prayer team here at the Seed Christian Fellowship would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write down your prayer. If you'd like a response, mark that. If not, you can always email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We want you to come to know the love of God and grow in his grace. We're talking about the disciples confronting Jesus and really demanding him to send the people away. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way to a quiet place, the crowd gathered and followed them. I am sure the disciples were exhausted. I am sure the idea of time away sounded like a fishing vacation or a peaceful and quiet time to just rest. When Jesus saw the needs of the crowd, he had compassion on them, and he welcomed them gladly and started to meet their need. In contrast, the disciples saw the needs of the crowd, and they wanted Jesus to send them away. What a contrast. Have you ever thought about that? The difference between the way the disciples saw the crowd and the way Jesus saw the crowd? Why did the disciples act this way? Was it their pride? Was it their maybe lack of faith? Were they exhausted? They could have said, Jesus, we are tired, weary, exhausted. Please just send them away. Let us get some sleep. These 12 disciples had just returned from working miracles, casting out demons, and preaching in the power and authority of Jesus. And now they claim they're too tired. They have no power to minister to a crowd that needed food. We can learn a great lesson here. The disciples did not look to Jesus or the power of God. They saw the problem and not the power of God. Well, I might start meddling and maybe stepping on some toes. Do we just see the problems and not look to the power of God? The only solution they could come up with, send them away. And it's a command. It's an imperative. They're commanding Jesus, send them away. Buying and providing for that multitude, well, it was too overwhelming for them. Go away. Go get your own food. I believe that Jesus wanted them to find something other than the world's ways to meet their needs. Let me say that again. I believe that Jesus wanted them to find something other than the world's ways to meet the needs of the crowd. Jesus wanted his disciples to call upon the power they had just depended on during a recent mission tour. Instead, they complained, "We cannot do such an impossible task." Where was their faith? Friends, time for me to start meddling and really stop preaching. We have read this book, holding up my Bible. We've read this book. We have heard about the fourth man in the fiery furnace, the angel in the lion's den. We have heard about God helping David defeat a 9-foot-tall giant and listen to how Elijah called down fire from heaven as he faced 350 evil prophets. We have listened to the faith of the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. We have heard about the faith of blind Bartimaeus crying out, "Faith comes by hearing." Let me say that again. Faith comes by hearing. Remember that. When the storms of a pandemic or a lockdown or a quarantine or wars and rumors of war or a bad report from your doctor or NSF on your check, or maybe it's a broken relationship. Too often we look to the ways of the world to face our fears, our doubts, our despair, our depression, our frustrations, and our hunger pains. We look to the ways of the world and the works of the world. We just might have something in common with these disciples today. "I'm booked, Jesus. Send the crowds away." An old pastor and teacher, his name is Alexander McLaren, he wrote this: "It is often our God-given duty to attempt tasks to which we are conspicuously inadequate in the confidence that he who gives them has laid them on us to drive us to himself and there to find sufficiency. The best preparation of his servants for their work in the world is the discovery that their own stores are small." Alexander McLaren. Let me just read the last line. "The best preparation of his servants for their work in the world is the discovery that their own stores are small." Oh, how I love that quote. Their own stores are small. You bet they are. Designed on purpose that way, friends. Think about the city where, just think about what God is doing. We needed to listen and be satisfied with what God can do. We're told that they found 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus asked the crowd, 5,000 men, not including women and children, to sit down in groups of 50. Some scholars say there were 15,000 people there. Wow, enter into that story. Are you in the front 50 or the back 50? Are you worried if you'd get something to eat? Will there be enough? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to the back of the line. I want to be there when there's enough even for me. This is a foretaste of the Last Supper when Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. Most likely, Jesus prays the same prayer at the blessing of the 5 loaves and the bread as he did at the Last Supper. Please don't miss that Jesus looks to heaven and blesses the bread. What a good reminder that we need to lift our eyes to heaven and realize that our help comes from the Lord, the creator of the universe. Our store may be small, but God's store is not small at all. Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and gave the traditional blessing preserved in the Mishnah called the Baruch Alta Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam HaMoshi Lechem Min HaRetz. It's the Hebrew prayer. "Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the world, who causes bread to come forth from the earth." Can you imagine how it sounded when the thunderous 5,000 men plus women and children voiced amen? When Jesus broke the bread and fishes into pieces, he gave. Literally, kept giving. The verb is a present tense verb. He gave and he kept giving. And kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. Jesus gave and kept on giving to the disciples and the crowd. Jesus has unlimited power. Jesus kept producing the bread and fish in his hands by the supernatural power of God until all were fed. I love this story. Jesus tests the faith of his disciples and then orders them up a feeding frenzy. Scholars believe that close to maybe 10,000 or 12,000 or 15,000, I don't know, let's just say 10,000. Were fed that day. Faith tested. feeding frenzy follows. This reminds me when we would take our family to the Lake of the Ozarks every summer for vacation. There was a restaurant along the lake called the Ozark Barbecue. Outside of the restaurant was a boat dock where hundreds of fish would gather to be fed. You put your quarter into a little fish food dispenser, and the children would get out their little hands full of little fish nuggets, and they would throw them into the lake. The fish would go crazy trying to get to the food. It was a fish food frenzy. Listen to the word. It says, when they were all had eaten, they were satisfied. Listen, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Well, so what? Let's bring it home. So what? So what is our application? So what do all these words, these ancient words written so long ago, mean to me and you? My question to you, is Christ sufficient? Is Christ sufficient to meet your needs? Does Christ satisfy you? Is faith in Christ sufficient enough for you to live on? Is faith in Christ all you need to be satisfied? In 2018, Harvard Business School undertook a first-of-a-kind study of over 4,000 millionaires in the United States, asking them about how much money it would take to make them happy. Each millionaire was asked to report how much they currently had, how happy they were on a scale of 1 to 10, and then how much money they thought that they would need to get to a 10 on the happiness scale. Shockingly, 26% of the largest responses was assigned to 10 plus more, which was the largest possible option given. 24% chose 5 times more money, followed by 23% said, well, they needed 2 times more money. Only 13% of the respondents said that currently they had enough to be happy. Perhaps most surprising of all, this answer was consistent. No matter how much money a person had, they still wanted more. This means that someone with 100 million was just as likely as the person with 10 million to select they needed 10 times more the amount of money. In an interview with The Atlantic, lead researcher Michael Norton suggested that the problem for so many millionaires is not money, but comparison. The question of happiness is not so much, do I have enough, but do I have more than those around me, Norton concluded. If a family amasses $50 million but moves into a neighborhood where everyone has more money, they won't be happy. All the way up to the spectrum of wealth, basically everyone says they need 2 to 3 times as much to be perfectly happy. I listen and hear these words. Again, they ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces, and they were left over. Are you hungry? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with yourself, your possessions, your wealth, your health, your television, your computer, your job, your retirement? Or are you hungry for more? In 1994, God called me into seminary. My wife and I left everything. Those 3 years we dubbed as in the seminary as the cemetery. But we learned so much. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled and satisfied. As we journey to the cross, don't miss the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus still teaches. Jesus still heals. Jesus still feeds. Your so what for today is extremely hard. Think about it. Think about it over your time. Am I satisfied with the bread of life, or do I want more? Am I satisfied with following Jesus, or do I want to follow the world? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I give thanks for each person that listens each week. May you bless them abundantly with your grace. God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.